Bobby Brokaw, Bryce Higby, is here, Alan McDonald, David Fotheringham, Jane Greiner, John Gubler, and Sylvia Christensen. Christiansen, excuse me. I said it right the first time.
And right when you said that, I found it on the minutes wrong.
Okay. Okay, so, John, can you give us an opening prayer?
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to come together as a Planning and Zoning Committee. We ask that our spirit be with us, that we may be influenced to do those things which are in the best interests of those who we represent. We're grateful for this opportunity and this great land that we live in. We're grateful for the many blessings that we have and all that we enjoy, and we offer this prayer to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Remind me your name?
Ed Bush.
Ed Bush, okay. Ed, could we ask you to lead us in Pledge of Allegiance today?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Ed, since you're the only public, is there any public comment tonight? Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead with communications. Austin, we'll turn that over. Why don't you just kind of explain to us what's going on with the new technology?
Okay, so in the past, all of our development code has just been traditionally kept in a PDF file, just one big long PDF file. Which is great. I mean, you can pull it up, you can email it to people, and it has its uses.
Sorry.
But, you know, with the with more modern websites and more modern things, it's good to be able to have access to things online and to be able to find things easily and quickly and efficiently. And so one of the solutions is the city's actually has hired a group called Municipal Code Online. To basically take our development code and our municipal code and to put them into a new format. So they're codifying our development code and our municipal code. They've sent us this. This is just a kind of a sample link. It's not finalized yet or anything. I just kind of wanted to show you this, especially since we're going to be kind of diving into the development code here more often in the near future. And so this is kind of the landing page that you get. So we'll have our municipal code and our development code. Mostly what we deal with here in Planning Commission is the development code. So if you click on that, it's going to take you to this new format here where you can kind of search. So it has it all broken down into different sections here. We have the preface, general provisions, and you can see, I mean, so on and so forth, municipal planning, zoning. And so just like as an example of what, like if the new format, you could just say, what are the setbacks in the half-acre zone? So you can click on zoning, and then you'd be like, half-acre zone, okay. And then setbacks, you just click on setbacks.
Is it searchable?
Wow.
Yeah, and it's also searchable. So if I had a question about
zoning setbacks.
Zoning.
Can you just put that in, like what you said?
Type in zoning setbacks. Type that in that box up on top, hit enter. It's thinking, and the connection isn't very great in this room, but it'll pull you up some results here. So this, it'll say, usually you'll have the exact matches at the top, and then down below it'll have kind of similar matches. So like if you typed in a specific phrase, like the urban fire code, if you type that in, it would pull up the exact matches, and it would be up here on the top. And then if you scroll down, you could see what other places where it mentions fire or urban, or it'll take some of those keywords and break it down like that.
So basically, we're just bringing the Alpine Municipal Code and the planning codes into the 21st century, similar to what is already online for the Utah Code.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the state of Utah's much more ahead of what Alpine is.
Come on.
No way.
Question. When we change codes or make ordinance changes, how easy is it for them to update?
So, yeah, that's a great question. And a neat thing about this is I mean, we still have to go through all the proper procedures for, like, creating a new code and stuff. But if we, for example, if we wanted to write a new section of code for zoning or something, we could create that code. We could enter it into this new system. And I haven't seen this that's been explained to me, but you could enter it in, and it will automatically assign a new numbering system to that new code. Without anyone having to do anything, it just automatically assign it to a number.
With an access code or a password, that
it's like an administrator for it.
So like an administrator can, there'll be a handful of people, probably, you know, staff members that would have access to that. And they could go in and do that. It would still have to go through the proper channels to get approved.
Close to your vest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a zero setback in the night before.
Until he gets his house done.
But it's an exciting new
great
way to access the code, and makes it friendlier and easier to use. So.
And we don't have to haul the book home if we want to read something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the past, every planning commission member actually had a big manual with the development code, and they'd bring it to every single meeting, and they'd have to lug that around with them. The idea is that we can just pull this up on our laptops or whatever our device is, and you can find the code really easily, search in a keyword, and make it really accessible.
Okay. So this live now, then, or it's going live?
This is currently, it's in the final stages of
okay.
So it's not live yet.
Okay.
I think that's why it says vineyard up at the top.
Right.
Okay.
Awesome.
I like it.
Thanks, Austin. One thing that we ought to look at, I don't know if you look at it in the future, see if it's an issue or not, but having the signal in here, I know there's ways to boost the signal to different parts of the building. We may want to look at that if we're going to be using that a lot.
Right.
In here.
Yeah, I think they have a Wi-Fi booster or something like that. Yeah. I'll next time I see the tech guy, that's a good suggestion.
Okay. All right. So one of the things we talked about doing for tonight, and it shouldn't be a long meeting tonight, but one of the things that we talked about looking at was the municipal code and get it started like that. We have the general plan. As I understand it, the city council has not looked at the general plan yet.
No.
Not approved it.
We've had a pretty full agenda and some, yeah. It's on their either the next meeting or the meeting after that. I'm not.
Okay. So we're waiting. We'll probably get some direction back from them. We may be looking at that again. But we thought we'd go ahead and get started on the development code. And I talked to you earlier about that today. So one of the things that we kind of did in the past with the general code was we'd go through the general code, make some changes or recommended changes, and then also would come back to that. So we'll kind of maybe follow that same format, look at some things we want to do tonight, not try to basically come up with exact wording tonight, but some recommended changes. Austin can make those changes, come back to us, and we can approve them. So that's kind of the format we're looking at, right, Austin?
Yeah, that's correct. And just to kind of start things off, I thought, so in the morning, we had our staff meeting, and the fire chief came and visited. The previous fire marshal left, and so now the fire chief is kind of stepping in until they can appoint a new fire marshal. And one of the things that he pointed out today is that there's a section, and this is kind of related to where we're going with this, that there's a section where we refer to the Unified Fire Code. And the state of Utah actually no longer uses the Unified Fire Code, but our development code.
So we first
know that they do. So that's like something that needs to be fixed. And so I just thought we could kind of show this new format and kind of go through that at the same time. So Unified Fire Code. So you can type that in, and it pulls up the matches here.
Mm-hmm. What code replaces that?
So it's being replaced by the International Fire Code.
Oh.
And I think he said to us it was in use in like 40-something. I'm not sure the exact number of states. No. But a lot of states are using the International Fire Code.
I think we talked about that one.
That's
time
where
before.
It's moving forward to. Let me see if this is going to work.
Okay.
pulled this up earlier and it worked well, but you know how
fire highlighted partway down there.
Maybe I need to go back up to the top here. Let's try this.
What do these arrows right there like skip to the next reference? I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. When I typed this in earlier, it just
came right up,
and I could scroll down. Now it's not working, so sorry about that. I just thought it would have been a neat.
That would be cool.
The word unified.
You have to put quotation, yeah, something to combine the words together. Sometimes you have to do an and or a.
Click on.
But if you tried it before.
It is in those.
There you go.
Soil,
that's not it. Let's try fire code. Okay.
Yeah.
The form, that's...
Form fire code. It's not the unified...
Oh.
Fire code.
I was thinking of the unified police and fire department around.
Gotta know what we're looking...
Can you zoom in just a teeny bit?
Yeah, let's zoom in on this. Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing it myself. Okay, let's see. So...
Nice.
This is what's interesting. So if we want to make a change, you know, we say, oh, our code is using uniform fire code, but it should be international fire code. And we can... easily search all of the places that shows up in here.
Cool. Does it let you do a search and replace? I mean, you might as well.
I'm sorry.
Search and replace.
He's not an administrator.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have the code.
I don't have the code. I don't know.
That'd
yeah.
be nice if you just switched the word from uniform to international.
yeah, you can. I mean, so. And it, like right here where it says Article 9.2.2-1 of the
it'll be a different
article,
one, yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to obviously replace that entire
Better not do a search and replace anyway. Never mind.
yeah, because the articles will be different.
Got articles to go with it,
yeah.
Someone will have to do all the cross-referencing.
Yeah. yeah and so, yeah. But
that makes it really nice, though. That's going to make it much better.
And this is kind of what we're aiming to do with going through the code. We'll try and... focus in on sections that, and if we can find these kind of things, this is hopefully what we want to find. And of course, grammatical things and stuff like that is always welcome.
Do you have that on the code on in a working document, like a Word document?
The development code?
Yep.
We have it like in a PDF format. Or
yeah, that doesn't help me.
We have it in Word.
Do we have a Word?
Yeah, we have in a Word document. Yeah. That's how we.
I think that's how I prefer to go through it, redline it if.
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah, I mean, if we, yeah, it might be beneficial. I'll send you.
Send the section.
Send you copies of the Word document, and you, okay. if that's the.
Even what we're going to do that week, it's nice for us to read through it a little bit beforehand.
Right. Yeah.
And like everybody can
moving forward,
highlight.
I'd like to. Yeah, and so moving forward on in this, I would like to send it out ahead of time and say, okay, let's kind of read through this, and we'll come prepared with suggestions
yeah.
so we can just. Crank them out.
That'd be
especially
great.
When we have an agenda with other things on it, I think it would work well.
We're waiting for a copy to highlight.
Got an A in the class.
Okay, so where do you recommend we go from here? Start with Article 2.2.
So I thought it might be beneficial to just for the fun of it, because we have so many new people, it might be useful to review Article 2.2, which is the Planning Commission. And just kind of familiarize ourselves with that section, but we can kind of review that and go over it as well. kind of our starting point. And that's the doc. That should be in front of you. I printed a copy for everyone. So
yeah. Yeah, I tried to print off the first two or three sections, and I couldn't print it.
Oh, really?
It would let me print the whole thing, but it wouldn't let me print the pages I wanted. So I don't know what
problem.
I'm gonna print out all 299
sure.
pages.
I didn't.
It's a lot of paper.
So okay, I'm not sure what any ideas. Do we want to just read through it, or do we want to just read through it on our own and then bring up any comments?
Well, I think
No, I think it makes sense just to read through it together.
Yeah, I think for this section, we can, yeah, it might be to read through it together. And
just do it section by section.
Okay. Well, let's start on the left. We'll just take turns to read. Bryce, you want to read the first two paragraphs?
Yep. So 2.2.1,
mm-hmm.
Establishment of Planning Commission pursuant to authority granted in Title 10-9A-301 UCA 1953 is amended. There is hereby created a Planning Commission. The Planning Commission shall consist of 7 members. The members shall be appointed by the mayor with the advice and consent of the City Council. Members shall be selected without respect to political affiliation. The legislative body may fix per diem compensation for the members of the Planning Commission based on necessary and reasonable expenses and on meetings actually attended. 2.2.2, term of office. Each member of the Planning Commission shall serve for a term of 4 years or until his successor is appointed. Term of office for each member shall commence on the first day of January. The mayor may remove any member of the Planning Commission for cause. The Planning Commissioner being removed may appeal to the City Council and may request a public hearing be held. Any vacancy occurring on said commission by reason of death, resignation, removal, or disqualification shall be filled in the same manner as an original appointment for the unexpired term.
Okay. I don't really see anything there that needs to be changed. Alan, do you want to read for us the next?
Sure.
2.2.3?
Yeah, want me to do all of 2.2.3?
Yeah.
Okay. Organization. 1. At its first meeting in January of each odd year, the Planning Commission shall elect one of its members as chair, a second member as vice chair. Chair shall serve for a term of 2 years and until a successor is chosen. A vacancy in the position of chair or vice chair shall be filled for the unexpired term by election at the next meeting of the Planning Commission. The person may be elected to serve consecutive terms as chair. 2. The chair shall preside at all meetings of the Planning Commission. In the absence of the chair, the vice chair shall preside. Both the chair and vice chair are absent. The commission shall elect one of its members as chair pro tem to preside at that meeting.
So, excuse me, does anybody pick up on that? Because the first time that we had a meeting, the chair and vice chair were gone, and this is not how we did it. So now we know.
Yeah,
we do need to elect a vice chair, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Because it was Jason.
Well, and we, it like, was David's appointed pro tem, yeah. But, yeah.
Well, I
just think going forward.
Austin ran the meeting that time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So typically we would have elected a pro tem or whatever
right.
That is. But being that we didn't have a chair anymore,
mm-hmm.
And the vice chair was out of town, we decided to go ahead and the election of the chair, since it was the next.
And
meeting.
We did that the first thing of the meeting anyway.
That's
so
kind of a very unique situation
right.
That you would usually run into.
Okay.
But we do need to appoint a vice chair.
Yeah, and I was hoping that we could do it this meeting. The mayor wasn't ready to make a recommendation to fill that seat yet to the city council, so we're just kind of waiting on his recommendation and the city council approval.
Right.
So we'll have a full quorum before we.
Hopefully, in the next meeting, we can elect a vice chair.
Does that need to be on the agenda?
Yes. Yeah, that'll be on the agenda. It has to be on
the
agenda.
Honestly, the point is somebody
required to be on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
3. Subject to the approval of the City Council, the Planning Commission shall adopt rules of procedure consistent with this code for its own organization for the transaction of business. Such rules shall not be inconsistent with any directive or instruction received from the City Council. 4. Meetings of the Planning Commission shall be held as frequently as the Commission deems advisable. 5. Reports of official acts and recommendations of the Planning Commission shall be made in writing to the City Council and shall indicate how each member of the Commission voted with respect to such act or recommendation. Any member of the Commission may also make a concurring or dissenting report or recommendation to the City Council whenever he or she so desires.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, duties and powers. The Planning Commission shall One, make a recommendation to the City Council for a general plan and amendments to the general plan. Land use ordinances, zoning maps, official maps, and amendments. An appropriate delegation of power to at least one designated land use authority to hear and act on the land use application. An appropriate delegation of power to at least one appeal authority to hear and act on appeal from the decision of the land use authority, and an application process that, so is that where we referring to the DRC there then?
So the appeal authority is actually not the DRC, so that's a separate procedure. We have a, I don't know what his title is.
Our appeal officer.
Appeal officer, yes. There is an appeal officer, and so if a decision, so there are certain decisions that the Planning Commission can make, final decisions. If he wants to appeal any of those, or if someone wants to appeal anything with a decision from the City Council, they can do that with the appeal authority. And that person is usually either has a they have some kind of a legal background. Sometimes they're a judge, sometimes a lawyer.
Are those appointed by us or by the City Council?
It's by the City Council. And so they can overturn within reason certain decisions.
Okay.
So make exceptions.
Can I just want to understand. This says make a recommendation to the City Council for, so we can recommend that the City Council delegates power to someone to do that, but we can't do it. We can just request that the City Council does it.
Right. Yeah. Correct. So, well, and so this,
I think all that's saying is like, it's just saying that the Planning Commission makes recommendations to the City Council
for
the applications.
Saying these are all the things we recommend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. E, application process that may include the designation of routine land use matters that, upon application and proper notice, will receive informal, streamlined review and action if the application is uncontested, and shall provide the right of each applicant and third party to require formal consideration of any application by the land use authority, applicant adversely affected party or municipal officer or employee to appeal a land use authority's decision to a separate appeal authority, and participate to be heard in each public hearing on a contested application. That wouldn't be a public hearing with the Planning Commission. It would be a separate public hearing, right?
Correct. Yes, this would be a separate.
Okay.
Participate in each public hearing on a contested application. So it's just, it's just in any public hearing.
As far as I know, I've never heard of that ever happening. Yeah. Going to an appeal authority, right? Have we ever done that?
It does happen. Yeah, it does happen. Yeah, I can probably tell you better.
The most recent one I can think of is it's more the appeal authority. So Summit Point, we approved a 26-foot wide access road. Mm-hmm. They did not like that decision, so that was appealed through to the appeal authority, and the appeal authority actually upheld both the recommendation and City Council's decision of the 26-foot wide.
Who was the appeal authority?
Ooh, good question. It might have been Tucker Hansen. He's also the same attorney that we use as a prosecuting attorney for code violations around the city.
Okay.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Okay, prepare and recommend a proposed ordinance to the City Council that regulates the subdivision of land. Prepare and recommend or consider and recommend a proposed ordinance that amends the regulation of the subdivision of the land in the city. So have the authority to grant concept and preliminary approval for subdivisions that fully comply with Alpine ordinances, and recommend final approval of the City Council for subdivisions that are in compliance. So that's something we always talk about, is do we approve or recommend? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about there. Review and make recommendation to the City Council on site plans for buildings not located in an appropriate subdivision for compliance with Alpine City ordinances prior to the issuance of a building permit. So have we turned that four over to the DRC?
No.
Okay.
We've actually seen, I'm trying to think, the last two we've seen has been the Jensen and the Jensen residents and the Swalberg residents. I think we're the most recent site plan applications we've had.
Okay. Okay. Site plans, okay. As a land use authority, hear and decide applications for conditional use permits other than administrative conditional uses.
So we actually decide on those. We don't make recommendations.
Hear and decide applications. That's what it says.
Conditional uses, yes.
For conditional. So, yeah, we approve conditional use.
Because that comes from the Planning Commission shall.
Mm-hmm.
Land use authority,
right. Make a recommendation to the City Council for any extension and recognition of non-conforming buildings or building housing a non-conforming use.
So I wasn't sure what extension meant in there.
Allowing them to continue to do what they're doing.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay, and follow the appropriate procedure for public hearings and public meetings and shall give proper public notice as applicable. And we do that. And based on the last meeting, we talked about some rules on that we may want to talk about too. I don't know if this is an appropriate time or place. And having a timer and giving each person a time.
Yeah, so yeah, we kind of at the end of the last meeting, and a lot of other cities do this, and each city is unique, but it may be something we want to implement when we have, you know, three or four big public hearings like that. We may want to have, you know, have 2 minutes to make a comment, and we can have an official someone, official timer.
I'll do that.
30.
Hey, and he's got a...
I would love, John, you would do your job.
I would love to do that.
That doesn't need any change to the code. That's just we can implement however we want to run the meetings. So.
Yeah. So we can structure it in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if they go over, we push the button, a little hole, open
they
the
fall down.
We just mute their microphone.
Or eject. Just
yeah, there you go. Eject might be even better. That window there.
And I'll try to do a better job of that, too, of making people understand what's acceptable and not acceptable, and those, especially when we've got some pretty interesting topics up like we did last time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sometimes some of those subjects can get pretty heated, and, you know, if there's public clamor, you know, we kind of want to control that and not let them go off on some tangent that, you know.
Right. So, okay, so... Jane, you want to handle 2.2.5?
Yeah, it's a big one. Additional duties and powers of the Planning Commission. One, may conduct hearings and meetings with interested property owners, officials, and citizens in the process of carrying out its functions.
I don't know if we've ever done that one. But that would kind of be probably advisable to do sometimes. Okay.
We're in chapter one. Is that what we're on?
Chapter one.
Can I keep reading?
Mm-hmm.
Mine was kind of long. I have to...
Yeah. Would you please?
1.1.1. Title, this ordinance shall be known and may be cited as the Development Code of Alpine City, Utah. 1.1.2, intent and purpose. It is the intent of the City Council of Alpine City, Utah, to avail itself of the powers granted under sections... I'm not going to read all the section number, Utah Code annotated 1953 as amended, in a manner that will promote the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Alpine, and to this end, encourage and facilitate orderly growth and development within the city to secure economy in municipal expenditures and to facilitate adequate provision for transportation, water, sewerage, parks, schools, and other public requirements, lessen congestion in the streets, prevent the overcrowding of land, and provide adequate light and air, to secure safety from fires, floods, traffic hazards, and other dangers, to protect property values, to protect the tax base, to promote the development of a more attractive, wholesome, and serviceable city, to create conditions favorable to prosperity, civic activities, and recreational, educational, and cultural opportunities. An interpretation: in interpreting and applying this code, the provisions thereof shall be held to be the minimum requirements needed to promote the public health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of the city.
See, this is the ordinance I was referring to on
summit point.
Yes. Because I think this trumps everything.
Right. And this has judgment inferred.
I think it's pretty.
That's why there's been, I know, a lot of discussion, and I missed the discussion last time on legislative and which things are ordinances, but there are certain ordinances that allow a judgment call by both the Planning Commission and the City Council.
It's not just certain ordinances. This says very specifically, if something threatens one of these things, for example, traffic and the creation of something that is inherently dangerous, we don't have to approve it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me just add, you know, I'm not arguing with you, Bryce. I just want to clarify it because I would like to use this when I can. But so this is general provision. Are there ordinances that address each one of these specifically to get more specific? Or where would the line draw? If there's a specific ordinance, does that trump a general ordinance?
I would say yes.
Okay, that's why.
So, I mean, I'm just looking at like number four: fires, floods, traffic hazards, other dangers. We have codes on fire. We have codes on floods. There's design standards for traffic hazards and other dangers. All of those other ordinances are very specific to that. So, I mean, I would say those would trump that. I don't know about the to lessen congestion in the streets, because if you think about it, every single development we approve is not lessening traffic congestion. So I don't know what to do with that statement.
You know, I would say, Jen, to follow up on that, and it's an interesting issue that Bryce raises. So, because on the one hand, you could argue that every property owner who owns some property and wishes to develop it and develops it in accordance with the all the ordinances and requirements of the city code, dots all the I's, crosses the T's, that's going to bring in more cars, mm-hmm. more kids on bikes, more people, more congestion, and arguably you could make the safety argument with every proposal that comes before us. But the flip side of that is, I think as a planning commission, we have, and I think that Austin and Jed would probably confirm this, and our city attorney would confirm this as well, if there are property owners within Alpine who have otherwise developed up a project that meets all codes and specifications within our rules and guidelines, I'm not sure that we have the discretion to turn them down without inviting a lawsuit that we'd have to deal with.
So where I think this applies is when we have people come in and they want to have a change to their zoning. They want to have an exception. They want something different. So, and often, you know, I think we are really discouraged from saying, no, I don't think that's good for the city. And I think that's where this stuff applies, really, is that all of these people who are coming in, they want changes, they want rezoned, then we do have the authority, because really that's legislative, then we can make our decision based on, in my opinion, this is not in the best interest of Alpine City, and there's nothing wrong with the Planning Commission doing that.
That seems right to me.
I agree with that.
A variance, a conditional use, some sort of change, then we have to consider, well, if you want to step outside,
Does that meet our general provisions that we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, we do.
Could you pull up?
Sure.
Name, address, social security. Ed Bush, 1463 Box Elder Drive. I'm the only member of the public here, so if you hear this voice again, know that. I would. I'm
would argue, or not argue, and I don't disagree with what Jane's saying in the least, in terms of exceptions, to use this paragraph as the motivator to reject something is, I think, incorrect. And I would say it's incorrect because it lies under the paragraph that says intent and purpose. The paragraph is to define the intent and purpose of the ordinances of the development code. So in actuality, the development code ordinances that are in this document are driven by these intent and purposes, right?
Right.
If they don't satisfy them, then we should consider changing the ordinance codes, right?
And that's what we want to do. We want to go through this and make sure that the codes are saying what we want them to say. And
right.
But while we're on the subject, could you pull up 3123? So everyone can see how this works. Yeah.
Just go to lower box.
3.1.2.
Yeah. Let's test this out. See if we can just search that 3.1.2.
So yeah, I just noticed that when I was reading through. It says so we're the very first of the general provisions here. And it's talking about the statement of purpose for why the ordinance was created. And on number three, it says it's encouraged to allow us to accomplish the following: encourage a density of development that will be expressive of a satisfying community life, that will conserve natural resources, protect scenic values, and prevent traffic congestion. Just thought that was a clever little four words there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, and that's an interesting thing there because it says in the beginning, it says, to encourage the density of what is the density of that? And you're right, you said to prevent traffic congestion. And returning back to the general provisions, I think an important thing of it is a lot of the reason why there is a planning commission is because a lot of this is kind of a balancing act. We have to determine, you know, what is orderly growth for the city, proper orderly growth, but also is that affecting safety? And so Planning Commission is to make recommendations on what they feel is in the city's best interest and which balances that, those different intents and purposes that we have.
Okay, so we've gone through chapter one. Is there anything in chapter one that we'd want to change? I thought it read pretty well.
No, I think it's good to understand the intent of it. Like, if the intent is to guide the rest of the ordinances, then I think that's, like I said, good to understand what the purpose and the wording of that is for, and that should also then guide our decisions when we do want to make an exception or change an ordinance. We should look back to see if it falls under the intent.
Right. So I'm trying to see what comes next.
Well, next I have here is the boundary line adjustment. The reason why I chose this section is, and I don't know if we want to just jump into this the same way we did the other sections, but particularly I wanted to look at, 3.31.3.4A.
Can you say that again?
So it's on the second
3.31,
page.
Okay.
Of the second page. You'll see a list of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I want to go through when we're reviewing the development code and kind of review is we have a lot of requirements in here for submissions from, you know, landowners or whoever they may be. And some of these have requirements of, you know, submit. If you go to page 3, it says submit 15 copies of before and after legal descriptions of the properties, or submit 15 copies drawn to scale showing the properties before and after the adjustment. This is something that we used to do in the past where everybody would have a physical copy of the site plan of the rules. Whereas nowadays, I don't know if that's necessarily something we want to continue doing in the 21st century. Do we want to keep doing that? Is it easier to have that in
a digital copy
format? And so that's something that I think is something we should try and change. wherever that may be.
So you're looking at A at the top of the second page?
Yeah, so I'm looking at A, just, you know, how it says, it says at the bottom there, it says days prior to regular scheduled meeting, planning commission meeting, and then it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One of those requirements is 10, 11 by 17 copies.
By 34.
Of their site plan, of their or their boundary line adjustment.
Could we add or digital copy?
It's right. It's number 3.
Oh, it's already there.
So the question then, Austin, is, I mean, you're the city planner.
Just we eliminate it.
So I mean, if somebody brings you in 4 22 by 34 size copies and 10 11 by 17s,
and no digital.
I mean, do you even?
In my opinion, we only need.
Even look at those, or
I mean, if they're bringing it in.
Submitted electronically or digitally, right? And then.
In my opinion, we only need 2 of each, one for me and one for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll redline it, send it back to him, and they can give me another one if need be. But we have one hard copy for our files, and the rest of it's electronic for
circulation.
And I've been here. I've been with the city since September, and one of the things that kind of jumped out at me since I've been here is the amount of paperwork that I get, and I get all these copies, and it's like all this paper, and it's like we're not even using half of this stuff, and why am I getting so much paperwork if we're not, you know, we don't even use it?
Well, it seems to me like you guys then should maybe just give us some recommendations.
Right.
As, okay, if you don't need 4, you need 2. If you don't need 10, you need 2. And then going down to 3.31.4, down towards the bottom of that page, maybe you need 5 copies, maybe you don't.
Right.
Right. If you went through, and then over on the next page where we have the 15 copies, you guys know from a practical implementation standard what you need. So if you just recommended to us, hey, this is really all we need, and make those recommended changes to us, and then we'll go ahead and confirm those.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right, yeah.
So I guess we would assume if this had 15, you 15.
15, yeah.
We don't need any.
13 other people who each needed one.
Exactly, yeah.
So there is a little grammatical error at the very top on A. It should be when the city planner and city engineer determine instead of determines that the application is ready for planning commission review.
Determine, take off the S.
Yeah,
just
take off the S.
Well, they share a brain, so I think it's singular.
Or is it one application?
Okay, that'd be a good idea for you to come back with those new recommendations.
And maybe
I'm all for no paper.
And maybe you're looking for a confirmation that you don't ever want a hard copy.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I brought that up is, do you guys want physical copies? Are you all okay with the electronic
format?
I like having the copies, but I probably like the electronic format.
I'm okay with the electronic format. But you will have a physical copy here, so if I want to come in and look at it before, I can do that.
Yeah, so we always have, for sure, we always have one, like, physical master packet for every meeting, and we keep those on file, in a physical file. So if anyone wants to come in and look at that, they can.
It does need to be all or nothing, though, because you can't pick and choose.
Right.
And so it's, yeah, exactly. Is it going to be 15?
When I get
the
electronic packet of whatever we're doing, if for some reason I feel like I'd like a hard copy right in front of me, I just print it at my office or home and bring that hard copy with me. Otherwise, we can save some trees and just pull it up electronic unless somebody feels like
that's what I do.
Print it out and have it in front of them.
Yeah, I just feel that in this day and age where everybody has some kind of device on them at all times that can pull up any document, why do we need that, you know?
I agree with that. So do you want to come through with some recommended changes to?
Yeah, as far as
3.1.
Like quantities and stuff like that, we'll go through all of it, and we'll come back with some recommendations.
Okay, so that will be, we can put that on the agenda for next time, some actual changes, recommended changes. Okay.
And tonight, just to clarify, what we're doing here is we're just looking at possible things that we can fix in the code, but we're not actually making any changes tonight because in order to do that, we have to announce that publicly through an agenda in advance of the
meeting. Just plan on doing that once, right? For this
project.
Yeah, you would like to just kind of like we did the general plan and one
yeah.
That would be ideal.
Okay. Let me ask you, for those that are new, would it be helpful to have Austin be prepared to kind of walk us through the development plan so that you understand where things are at in it and what applies to what? Or do you feel you're comfortable with it?
I read through 3.9, about the middle of 3.9, and I have a lot of questions. And I question if some of the wording is correct in there, too. For example, let me see if I can find...
Is it 3.9?
It's not part of what we got.
Well, just in this...
She has the whole book.
Charmaine gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going through it all. Did I read too far? Was I just supposed to
read
2, or...
You're not supposed to read ahead.
I thought I was supposed to read it all.
Teacher's pet.
And we'll make the recommendations for each section as we come to it.
Okay.
We're just, yeah. Just
follow the syllabus.
Yeah, so, yeah, and once again, that's the same. My preference, too, is if we have a copy of this, then I can read it and just highlight the things that, you know. And even when we did the general plan, we would email our questions back to you. Or back to Basin. But anyway, so that if 3 or 4 of us had the same thing, you just, I don't know. Do you guys like that?
So, Austin, is your intent to go through this and just hit the high points, or do you want to go through the whole thing?
No, my intent and purpose is to hit the high points. So, I mean, in the future, this was kind of an emergency meeting, so we've kind of thrown this together. Everything that we had on the agenda ended up canceling or... or whatever, but moving forward, the way I'd like to do it is, and you can let me know if this is a good idea or not. But maybe we have like a section that's kind of okay. This is your homework, kind of like a homework assignment.
Yeah.
Here's a section we're going to be going over in the next meeting. You can go through it. If you have any suggestions, you notice any grammatical errors, or if you notice any inconsistencies, well, you can bring those forward in the next meeting, and we'll discuss those.
And the grammatical errors, it was kind of nice if we just sent those to you in advance so we didn't sit here and go, okay, will you take a S off here? Will you take a,
right.
You know what I mean? It took up so much time. So grammatical errors, I think we could just send you in advance.
That's
I don't know
true.
If you care.
I mean, we could get them all in advance, and I could say, here are the list of grammatical errors. This,
yeah, or something like that.
That.
Or, you know, or
you
if we look at...
approve these corrections,
yeah.
Recommend a...
I don't know.
Approval of these corrections.
So, Austin, if we go through and eat this elephant a couple of bites at a time, what's the timetable to end up going through the whole code?
June.
We've done.
No, I think it would probably.
June, July.
The way that we're doing it today, where we read the whole code, that could take a long time.
Yeah.
That was my idea. That's the reason why I'm thinking maybe it's better we have a homework assignment and then we come forward with the highlights and we just.
John loves to work.
Yeah. And if you see there's areas that need attention, that's helpful because you're working with it all the time and we're not. And so if you see, like, this needs attention, will you guys look at it?
And to that point, I know that Jed actually has a list of corrections.
This was here to do the general.
Because we've kind of noted things over the year of, like, when we get to that.
Jed, just bring your list and we'll go through it. Perfect.
He's got, put your list together.
The problem with my list is that it takes work to put it together, and then it takes 10 days prior to get it public noticed and all that. And quite honestly, like, my time is 100% busy with projects and developments and whatever. So it's hard for me to prepare something for as a filler, I guess is what I'm saying. Last-minute filler. I can't do last-minute filler stuff when it requires a public hearing, whatever. So really what I should do is just give the list to Austin and tell him to have it. He's busy too, though. No, I mean, we can start trying to knock the list out. I have a few of them that are kind of my pet peeves that need to be fixed for sure. There's inconsistencies and stuff in there. It's just difficult making that a priority over some of the other things we got going on at the moment.
Well, And when we have a meeting like the last meeting where we had four public hearings in one hour, sometimes.
Yeah, why don't we spread some of those out?
See, we wouldn't have this on the agenda if we did that, but.
Yeah, we'd like to spread them out, but it's really, they want to admit something.
Yeah.
We got to put it on the agenda.
Okay. So, Lawson, so from here, could maybe you and I, and then with Jed's input, we'll decide which ones we're going to address each time and bring those to the Planning Commission.
Perfect.
And then we'll just address parts of the code that we need to fix first. And eventually, I'd kind of like to go through most of it. Maybe we can assign people to read through parts of the code at the same time so that we're reviewing the whole code in the process and just bringing up the highlights that people may see in those. Is that agreeable?
I think that's. Yeah.
I'm so glad. I thought I'd be the only one that didn't get my homework done. I thought we were supposed to do the whole code.
You're new. It's all right.
We spent a year doing the general plan, so. This is much.
So much earlier
you
last
did have,
time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we've got some changes we want to look at for next time. And then we'd probably maybe just have a public hearing about once every 6 weeks with everything we've discussed to approve those during the public hearing. How do we do that?
Yeah, I mean,
we wouldn't need to have a public hearing every time we want to change one little thing.
No, we probably just want to do it all at once.
Do it once?
Unless we see something that maybe needs to be done now.
Unless it's something that we feel like is a priority that needs to be changed immediately, it could probably all wait for one.
Okay.
Final one complete submission.
So, Austin, was there anything in the last one that you printed out
starting
at 3.1.10?
So yeah, I was going to ask you that same thing.
There's one last point in there that, and this is something that Sylvia emailed me in her while she was doing her homework studies. She had a question about mobile homes and the definition. So I printed off the definitions, and so these are definitions that are used throughout the code. She's questioning whether this definition is applicable. I guess, do you want to explain more about?
Well, they haven't been designated as mobile homes since 1976. July 15th, 1976, I think. Since that point in time, per head, they have been called manufactured homes. Not to be confused with modular homes, which are put together on site where they bring a wall. The walls are put together in the factory and then the walls are put together. So I think, I don't know, what I thought is we need two definitions, one for manufactured home and one for mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
Or it needs to say see manufactured home or something like that. Because they're mobile homes anymore.
So I know section of floodplain ordinance mentions mobile homes or manufactured homes. I'm not sure which.
Well, it's possible someone could still be living in one that was built before 76.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a good call. We ought to look into that.
Yeah. And some of these where I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we want to run some of these by our city attorney and, you know, how do we deal with manufactured versus mobile homes. But, like, yeah, I mean, we could probably search that here, manufacturer.
Sure, clear. So what went on Main Street last week?
I would call that a manufactured.
Yeah.
So I guess when you look at 33 there, about thirds way down, starting with excluded from this definition, that sounds like it's a manufactured home, right?
No, that's modular.
That's modular. Is a manufactured home different from a modular home?
Yeah, so this is an article that
from a bank, because the banks make loans, and so the things that apply to the definition are the date built is one of the things, and if you just scroll down a little bit, it'll show. Okay, in 1976, the industry stepped in again. It was decided that stricter standards for mobile homes should be set, ensuring the quality of these structures that many. So in 1976, HUD got strict with them and enacted a code, and from that point on, they're called manufactured homes, not mobile homes. So I learned that in real estate school.
I was going to say, you know about these things for sure.
You're saying it's the same thing. It's just the date that changed.
It had higher standards,
well,
too.
And HUD didn't really have any standards for the
mobile.
When they were mobile homes. HUD didn't involve in it.
So things have changed over time. So, for example, I'm not an expert on manufactured homes, but I know that VIN numbers were assigned to mobile homes like a vehicle. You could get a loan on a mobile home as if it were a vehicle. So if you went to get a loan on it, that's how you get it, versus a manufactured home. Nowadays, you get a home loan on that. You get a mortgage on it.
I read a few definitions. So
there are little differences like that.
How it allows for mobile homes coming in on wheels. So you can put up the frame around the bottom and hide it. Mm-hmm. And you could pick that up and move it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would have to be a manufactured or a modular home that's on foundation.
Yeah, and that's the big difference is mobile homes have wheels on them. Even though you may never intend to move that mobile home, it's going to be a permanent structure for you. It originally
built on a steel frame, though.
And it was built that way.
Yeah. Not on a
manufactured home is never designed
foundation.
Well, and you can see that the HUD code, the word HUD code is a link up there. And so I think that I'll probably give us more information on it. But I just thought that our definition was a little out there. So I thought we might want to look into that.
That's great. Good.
Because this is from HUD themselves.
Oh, that's a good point. Very good point. Good
down.
Good job on your homework.
Thanks.
That's something that you're
the only one to do. Well,
okay, so we'll do a little more research on that and come back when we're ready to talk about it.
I just want to make sure I can put my Airstream on my lot, couch on the front porch, and a tub on the lawn.
Well,
I didn't get in the way
of
that.
You just can't have a fridge in the front.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That has to be the back.
You can have the couch, just no fridge.
There are people who
so do you mind
who's
if
like
I
show up
point
and
out a few things
park
that
in
I
the
had
front yard
that
for months?
In this section or?
Sure, well, no, it goes four. So do you just want me to wait till we get to those sections?
I think just email them to them.
Yeah.
I don't know that we need to go over them on the
and
record.
We could come in and visit, like if there's questions or not understanding and stuff too, it might be good for us to come.
Go through them one by time if you want.
Oh, you don't want. I just have like 2, 3, 3. Let's see now. 2, 3, 3, 7. 2, 3 are in conflict. It says 2, 3, 3, 7, and 12 are in conflict. So what's 7 say? The hearing officer may grant a variance only if, and then it gives those, and then it says the hearing officer may not grant a use variance. So see, that's just my own.
Okay.
And then I noticed I found three different names for this hearing officer. So the hearing officer was called a land use hearing officer, was called the Alpine City hearing officer, and then just the hearing officer. And I just think we need to tighten that up, too. That was just throughout that.
That has a consistent
thing. Okay.
Okay. So we'll kind of move forward like we talked about before.
Okay.
I think that's a good
time
moving forward
then.
If everybody feels that way on the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to go through the whole thing, but hit the highlights at the same time so we can assign everybody to read and come back with any changes they need to. And I would recommend sending, we'll put that out, recommend sending those changes to Austin and Oscar, and then be ready to bring them to us in our Planning Commission meeting.
That's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
So,
they were like highlighted in yellow so that we could all look up and see what each other sent in. And stuff.
Right. Okay, so.
It's a pain for you, but.
So the last thing on the agenda is approval of the Planning Commission minutes. Okay.
Page 3, line 35, half of line 34, city would take part in a property exchange with the developer so that the project would have an existing storm drain area. That's not correct. They have plenty of room to have a storm drain area on their property. They're just proposing a property exchange to make their development work better. So for the minute, I would just scratch off that whole sentence.
Okay. The last.
I know.
So just the last sentence is not applicable.
Yeah.
The lines 34 and 35, delete.
Delete.
Back, starting with the city.
Yep.
Anything else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
My name vacillates regularly between Sylvia Christensen and Sylvia Christiansen.
We'll just say Sylvia C.
Sylvia C.
There
you go.
And I wasn't here, so it's all news to me.
So if maybe you could just replace the section from the one thing.
I thought your last name was Anderson.
It would be easier, wouldn't it? I don't just get that A-N or E-N.
Anything else, Sylvia, on it?
That's all I saw.
Okay.
I found five, but I wasn't looking very hard. Where it's Christensen instead of Christiansen. Maybe you married it down there.
Do we have a motion?
I recommend that the minutes be approved.
You move to approve the minutes.
Yeah. Move to approve the minutes.
With the changes?
With the change of page 3, 34, and 35.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have a question. I never
approve
minutes that I didn't even hear the meeting on, do I?
You still need to, yeah.
I still vote to approve them.
You have a vote to approve them.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, so, as far as you're concerned, they are accurate.
The voting is unanimous.
It just comes from a point of zero knowledge that they're accurate. I don't like to say I agree to something I have no idea what it is. You know, Marla could be over there making stuff up.
All right. The meeting is adjourned.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to bring
Oh, do we have communications? Yeah.
Yeah. I was at legislature last week, and I realized that caucus night is March 30th and 20th, and we have a meeting planned that night. And it's both for Democrats and Republicans, so it's everybody.
That is a problem. That's right in the middle of March Madness, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So. Got to work on my brackets now.
So we probably ought to look at canceling that meeting on March 20th.
USA.
March 30th, you said?
20th.
March 20th, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If that makes sense, we can cancel that.
If there's something urgent, we could do a...
They have it at the...
Isn't it middle school? Yeah.
Okay. Adjourned.